My democracy will deliver. People of Pakistan stand with the people of the United States and the people of Afghanistan.
That's Pakistan's President Asif Ali Zardari speaking yesterday at a meeting with Afghan President Hamid Karzai and Secretary of State Hillary Clinton. The people of Pakistan stand with the people of the United States? Well, this morning there are a lot of people in Pakistan who aren't standing at all. They're running. Perhaps 500,000 people are potentially refugees because of battles taking place in the Swat Valley between Taliban militants and Pakistani military. Tens of thousands of people are already fleeing the region to escape the conflict. The fighting came hours ahead of those meetings between President Barack Obama and Pakistani President Asif Ali Zardari in Washington to explore all kinds of ways to boost the country's anti-terror fight and actually to boost the credibility of Zardari himself. Joining us to talk about the issues in South Asia all this hour that are on the table in both Washington and places like Delhi and Islamabad is Sherry Rahman, former information minister and journalist. She resigned her post as an information minister for the Pakistani government of President Zardari on March 14th due to differences of opinion about imposing restrictions on the media. She joins us from Washington. Sherry Rahman, thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
And here in the studio, Mira Kamdar is a senior fellow at the World Policy Institute and an associate fellow of the Asia Society. She's also here to talk about this. Mira, thanks so much for coming in.
Glad to be here.
First of all, Sherry Rahman, what is necessary to improve the credibility of Ali Asif Zardari if the president is going to accomplish any of his goals, whether we're talking about terrorism or bolstering democracy in Pakistan?
Well, first of all, I think it's important to understand that the institutions of democracy in Pakistan have traditionally been fairly weak because of long periods of non-democratic rule, and we've really just had 1 year of an elected civilian government coming in. So it's important to strengthen all institutions and balance powers as per the constitution. So I think the most important thing right now is for democratic forces, including the presidency, to be strengthened and given as much support as possible, given the challenges on the scale and the magnitude of the challenges that any government in Pakistan would face right now. They need unity, resolve, and a fair amount of support.
Well, that sounds nice, and the President Zardari said yesterday that my democracy will deliver, but what realistically can President Zardari deliver?
Well, I think it's not just about President Zardari. It's a whole slew of institutions. There's a parliament which has a strong voice, and we do have a parliamentary system. The leader of the House is the prime minister. Right now, yes, there are extraordinary powers still vested in the presidency, but really the point is, even today, the parliament is considered the main public representative body because it comes through a direct election, and a great deal of national discourse as well as influence on executive decision-making naturally emanates from there. So I think it's important to understand that all powers are not vested in the president.
Right. Well, Mira Kamdar, the Red Cross is now reporting that it's possible that 500,000 people are displaced in Pakistan or potentially refugees as a result of this fighting. When Barack Obama stands with Hamid Karzai and President Zardari of Pakistan and projects this sort of democratic front, is that credible to the people on the ground in Pakistan and Afghanistan? This is for Mira Kamdar, Sherry.
I think it's probably not credible to a lot of those people. Unfortunately, a lot of those people view the United States as much a potential, source of a threat as the Taliban or the Al-Qaeda forces and maybe even their own military. It doesn't really matter if you get bombed and you lose your family, which of those is the source. And we just had a spectacular amount of civilian casualties in Afghanistan yesterday with a bombing that went awry. One of the issues that's been a problem for the Zardari government has been the drone attacks in Pakistan, which is, you know,
NATO drone attacks, the remote control planes. Yeah.
Absolutely. And there's been a lot of civilian casualties. And I think, you know, really on the ground, in terms of the people of both those countries, they're very confused. They're really not sure who's the enemy, because they're right at this point, they're kind of getting it from all ways.
But perhaps they're not confused about one thing, and that is that Zardari has no control over Northwest Frontier Province. The latest Taliban fighting simply takes the fig leaf off. It's really clear to everyone in the world now.
Well, that's true. That's true. And the other thing they don't have any illusions of are what exactly the Taliban want to put into place in that valley, and I don't think that's what most of the people there want.
Sherry, do you have a comment?
Well, I'd quickly like to put in that, yes, the U.S. is seen as fairly predatory in terms of its footprint and, you know, constant invasions of Pakistan's sovereignty through those aerial strikes go down very badly across a large swathe of public in support erosion in Pakistan for any government that is constantly seen in an American embrace. But having said that, I think we'd have to draw a fine line here between what is happening in terms of military action in Swat and Malakand and Bunair right now. Not so much in Swat, but in Bunair. This was, unfortunately, an action of last resort and very needed if there is a Taliban concentration and a hijack of state writ. So it's very important for government, and particularly the frontier government, which is an elected government, to act. And again, I think we have to understand that we need some more nuance in this discourse, that it can't really be, it's not a presidential system, so it's not something that is entirely vested in the powers and decision-making of the president. Yes, he did sign those executive powers, but it is on the advice, as the Constitution says, and the insistence of the provincial government, which incidentally is also a secular party. This point has to be made. The people of those areas where the Taliban tried to take over, or rather was surrendered to them in many ways, elected progressive secular governments in majority,
right?
The ANP and then the PUP.
But it's the Taliban running the show right now. Go ahead, Farai.
Sherry, I wonder if you can just quickly give us a little context around your resignation. I mean, you have been a professional journalist for 20 years, then went in as Pakistan's federal minister for information, and then resigned. What was the straw that broke the camel's back?
Well, as I said earlier, that I had differences. We have very clear commitments on media freedoms. And while I think that our media is, we have over 100 channels running riot, yes, they do perhaps need a code of conduct, but it is something that that doesn't merit perhaps censorship or other kind of curbs that we've seen in earlier non-democratic regime. So I did have differences on any such potential action.
Do you think that the president has manipulated his own image in the news then?
I don't think, well, the Pakistani media is quite free. In fact, it's very free, and we have certainly ensured that it is. We all have a bit of a hand in that. It's not something that can be rolled back. These freedoms were hard-earned. They will not ever, I don't see them really going back. So it's very difficult to manipulate anyone's image in the Pakistani media these days. It goes with what it wants to say.
And the image of President Zardari is pretty much at a low ebb in the Pakistani media at this point. Mira Kamdar, quickly before we end this segment, does Nawaz Sharif, the former prime minister, or the former president, have more credibility with the Taliban, who are making such gains on the ground in Northwest Frontier Province?
Is he more beloved of the Taliban than Zardari?
Who could talk with the Taliban and possibly end this?
I don't think so. I mean, there has been a little bit of a history there. I'm sure you're alluding to that. But I don't think so at this point. I mean, I really think at this point the Taliban is thumbing their nose at anything that represents the authority of the state.
Right.
They just blew up this police station, you know, that was already had been vacated. But just to underline the fact that they are now the law, they are now the force in that area, and I don't think it matters whether it's Sharif or Zardari at this point, unfortunately.
And as we've seen in the past, chaos works for the Taliban. A final comment, Sherry?
Yes, absolutely. I couldn't agree more. They are indeed overtaking the monopoly, what should be the monopoly of the state, which is the use of force and executive authority. And it wouldn't matter who is in charge in Islamabad. To them, it's really it's a zero-sum game, and they're battling for territory. They're battling for control. They see state weakness as a sign, as a signal for potential takeover, and I think this is important to fight this.
Well,
battle.
And it sounds like a secession on the ground there. Shehri Rahman, former information minister of the Zardari government in Pakistan, she resigned her post in March. Thank you, Shehri. And staying with us is Amira Kamdar, senior fellow at the World Policy Institute and author of Planet India, Turbulent Rise.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.